Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And Sabrina is joining us today to talk about the book Green Light. Is it singular or plural?
Plural.
Yeah. Okay.
By Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
And it's an autobiography, right?
Or yeah, it's an autobiography. Okay. And it's both book and audio. So
I believe he is the one who...
He is the narrator.
Narrates it, yeah. Which is what someone used to be like, you should read this because Matthew McConaughey reads it.
Exactly. I didn't even know that he was the narrator for the audiobook. So when I recommended it to Lisa to buy, she was like, oh my gosh, did you know? And I was like, no, don't put me on the regular book when I want the audio.
That's funny.
Yeah. It was different. It was good. Like, don't get me wrong, but it was definitely not what I was expecting. Like, I don't know. What do you guys think an autobiography of Matthew McConaughey would
be? I mean, I know absolutely nothing about any
celebrity, I don't know anything about his life. Is it written like a normal autobiography?
No, it's not.
The way you were kind of looking confused at the beginning of this recording made me think maybe it's like something different, and that's the...
It is definitely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like for this one, instead of... I've been reading more memoirs lately and that sort of thing. And they normally go chronologically. They tell you like story, and then this major thing happened in my life, story, major thing, you know, sort of thing. And while he does go chronologically, but it doesn't follow so much of, it doesn't feel like you're like, all right, and then he did this, and then he did this, and then he did this, because he throws in these little bumper stickers and prescribe, prescription.
Like, what?
It's like these catchphrases that he comes up with. And
I I thought you meant like he was trying to get people to subscribe to things.
like a subscription box in the middle.
So is he making up products?
No. So like, it's literally like let me start from the beginning. I think I jumped ahead. So he's been keeping diaries for the last like 40 years. And so he took all of these diaries and he basically wanted to turn them into his memoir, his work, his life, that sort of thing. But he didn't want it to be traditional. And so almost like he wrote these scripts of paper that had like these quotes or these things he wanted to live by and those sort of things. And so throughout the book, like in between the parts and in between
there's
the stories.
There's like random bits.
Yeah. So I actually started with the actual book. The book came in before the audio. So I started with the book. I read about 3/4 of it, turned it back in because there was so many holds. It was so popular. Wanted to get it out to folks. And so then I was in line waiting for the audio book. And I was like, well, I think I'll like to rehear. I love his voice. Like, yeah, I'll re-listen to the 3/4 of the book that I did. And it startled me the first time it happened. Because, like, I'm just, like, driving along and all of a sudden the prescribe! And you're like, what? What just happened?
It's like full-on advertiser voice?
It's full-on advertiser voice followed by, like, inspirational quote. Like, it's very weird.
Yeah.
And so it kind of, like, it's jarring is what it is.
Yeah.
So you go from, like, he's, like, talking about, oh, Lord, the man talked about all kinds of things.
Now,
but
was he pulling a lot of the text from his journals?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all stuff that he's written and, like, his, like, type of... mentality, like what he thinks on life, those sort of things, and they're good, like don't get me wrong, but it's just like it's jarring. And he's so animated, borderline arrogant through the whole reading that it, like, tone wise, like, let's not even talk about the content, but just like tone wise, I didn't love it as much as I wanted to. And I am a huge fan. I watched The Wedding Planner on like repeat. Like, I love this guy.
It sounds like it would be hard to listen to an actor's biography where the whole time they're just like, yeah, when I did that, like,
totally.
And you're just like, okay, I get it. Your life is great and you're smart, whatever.
And you're famous.
Don't get me wrong. He's a very down-to-earth guy.
Yes.
He's born and raised in Uvalde, moved to like Longview, like Texas boy through and through. But his stories were so fascinating that at one point, like to the very end, I was almost like, did this really happen? Like, he's a fantastic storyteller. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he talks about him going to school and that sort of thing, where he decided that instead of being a lawyer, he wanted to go to film school. And he's obviously a very talented story writer, that sort of thing. So, like, at the end, like, it kind of dawned on me. I was like, this is for real? Like, did you really go to Africa and wrestle this guy? Like, you know?
Does it feel more like a tall tale, almost?
Almost, a little bit like a bar story.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, you got, like, at the bar. Like, I don't know.
I was going to ask what one of your favorite stories was that he...
Oh, man, he had some stories. stories. This is probably PG-13. A lot of his stories surrounded around wet dreams.
Oh my
gosh. That's very strange.
I know. So there's also that.
That also makes it worse that he narrates it. Because then it's just like Matthew McConaughey's driving in your car, like, about this one time.
Yeah, I know. But one of the things that that's why it was a little hard to like be like, oh, his stories are all about this. But before it got to that part where he talked about three different dreams.
Pre-puberty?
I wish. He actually was a foreign exchange student to Australia, which I thought was super fascinating. Yeah. I had no idea. And he was like 19 and thought he was a cool kid and like goes to Australia and he gets like set up with the weirdest family that like cannot like have normal relationships. They're like EQ is like super low. And like Matthew McConaughey goes through this like crazy like situation where he like starts like he becomes like a vegan vegetarian where all he eats is like ketchup and lettuce and like yeah
traditional
and, like,
vegetarian
lot.
Food
yeah it's just like
super what Vegemite will do to you
it's all that hot Australian sun.
It's just super weird. He like went through this weird phase and then finally like the parents he was with like told him that, or his like foster or host parents, whatever they're called, was like, you have to refer to us as like dad, mom and dad. And Matthew was like, hell no.
Thank you.
And they threw like a huge fit and like the mom like cried and was like sobbing.
Oh my God.
And I was just like listening to it and I was like, wow. Like, that's so uncomfortable for a 19-year-old. You're in a whole nother country. Like, what do you do?
He was an exchange student at 19?
How long was he there?
He was there for a year and he had already graduated and he decided to do like college, quote unquote.
Oh, okay. So an exchange college student.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so, but when he got there, they were going to put him, they did start him in high school.
Oh my gosh.
No. Yeah. And so then from there, they're like, no, you're not. No, we're moving you on.
And he
to
was
a
like, thank
school.
You. I don't want to spend time with these 16-year-olds.
Oh, no, he did.
Oh.
Because, you know, Matthew McConaughey, he's a cool kid. He wants to get all the attention from the girl.
That's true.
So
he'd be a cool 19-year-old American in high school.
Exactly. Who's good looking, one most handsome, like that sort of thing. But yeah, it was super weird. He ended up getting a new family because he just like threw a fit and was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm leaving. And so it was just like really crazy. So that was an interesting story. His parents, it talks a lot about his parents too. His parents were very abusive to each other. Married three times, divorced twice. Yeah. And it's just, it was like crazy.
To different people?
Nope. To
same
each
what?
Other.
Same
to
people.
Each
this dude has been
other.
Surrounded by drama.
Yeah. Yeah. No, really.
Yes. Really. Maybe that's why he has such a strong sense of self.
He has a very strong sense of self. And he's very confident and unashamed. Like, he talked about everything from sex to weed to other drugs that he did to wet dreams. I mean, he didn't hold it back. There were some things that he hinted at and then never like talked about again, but it was very interesting.
Did you like it better when you were reading it, or
so
since you did read a good bit of it before you got the audiobook?
I honestly don't think I would have enjoyed his stories as much had he not been telling them.
Okay.
So it was like his inflections.
It's
and
really
his
the
way.
Bar story feel where it's like he slid a stool up next to you.
And you're like, yeah, tell me about it. No way. Really? Wow. Like in the book, I would have just honestly like I was just like, okay. All
sure.
right, that happened. Okay. Like it was just a very like, all right, interesting. Mm-hmm. There's nothing super profound either, I will say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting given how much he spent time on inspirational
quotes and bumper stickers and
Do you remember any of them?
No.
That's okay.
Prescribe.
That should tell you. Like that there I was so focused on his yelling
at you.
Couldn't. And he was like, I can tell you his stories easily, but those like prescribe and the bumper sticker and that sort of thing just like didn't do it for me. And maybe that's just the type of person I am.
Yeah.
I do like his theory of like sometime in life you're going to hit red lights, yellow lights, and green lights. And sometimes a red light will turn into a green light in a way that you didn't expect or things like that. And, you know, when you have yellow lights, maybe it is good to slow down and like work through things or look around and see what else is going on. Like, I get that philosophy, you know, and being optimistic.
He's from Texas. What he means is it's time to step on the gas so you can run through that before it turns a red.
He's also a big gambler. but not in a way you think, which this is interesting. He talked about how after he landed, I think his second movie role, he called his brother, his older brother, Pat, to tell him. And he's like, come on, man, we're going to go celebrate in Vegas. Like the Super Bowl is happening, all this. And then he goes on to explain that he does like to gamble, but not in the way that you think. He really likes to study and figure out why the team might win. And it might be that, oh, the star player just had a baby, so they're going to be working extra hard on the field to, you know, they have further purpose because they just had a child, or
they haven't been sleeping because they just had a child, or
yeah, or like this team's rated to be the underdog, but you know they have a good coaching, you know, stat, like this sort of thing. So he doesn't bet so much on like the statistics as much as like why that team should win and that sort of thing. So he says that it's his way of betting on himself, on like what he thinks may happen based on who the people are and who are playing, sort of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Does he give you any behind the scenes tidbits about different movies he's been in?
Not really. Like, I expected to learn more about like what it was like to be an actor, but honestly, it was more about him making his decisions on what movies he chose.
Okay.
Because if you do follow Matthew McConaughey at all, he did Dazed and Confused, and then he went to A Time to Kill. He did like a Scorpion show movie or something in there, but then he got the role for, I can't remember, it was some rom-com. And then after that, the rom-coms just kept coming. I mean, Failure to Launch, Wedding Planner, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, those sort of things. And then he got to a point where he decided he didn't want that anymore. He didn't want to be that guy. He wanted to challenge himself. And so he literally turned down movies for 2.5 years because they kept sending him scripts that were for rom-coms. And he kept telling them, I want a dramatic role. I want to do something else, that sort of thing. And he turned down like a $14.5 million contract for a rom-com. And him and his wife, Camilla, like they had talked about it. And Camilla was like, if this is a decision you're going to make, like I stand by you. And so they, like, he did not work for 2.5 years.
Oh wow.
And then I think his next movie out was the, oh man, I'm gonna lose it,
was this, it that big one,
it's the one where HIV,
where he lost a bunch of weight for the role.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my Lanta.
I can't remember.
I don't know movies. I don't, so I'm useless.
But, no, I haven't seen it, but yeah, that was the movie. And
that's pretty rough because it's not like he was a not well-known actor where they could just switch him out. He was well-known enough that people had made an expectation. So I'm sure it took movie producers a long time to be like, okay, fine, I'm willing to bet. Because it's not just bet that you can do it. It's I'm going to bet on audiences seeing you on the poster and not being like, oh, he's in rom-coms though. Like, I don't like rom-coms.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
He said that it...
You get tainted.
Yeah, that's how he felt. He said that he didn't know if the public or the audience would accept him in a new way.
Yeah.
And I do believe that this movie that none of us can remember the name to...
the very popular award-winning movie.
The very popular one. I swear. My God, I cannot remember. He did end up winning like an Academy Award for it. Mm-hmm. And it was his one Academy Award. And this is really interesting. It's where I kind of connect to it more. When he did his acceptance speech, he talked about his dad like being in heaven or somewhere like that, like sitting with just a t-shirt and underwear on, popping a cold beer, like being like, attaboy, like I'm proud of you. And I remember that so vividly because I was shrimping with my dad out on the water, and we had like a little satellite TV on the boat, and my dad was watching the news, and he like woke me up from the bunk to be like, Matthew McConaughey won this award, watch it. And I watched his acceptance speech with my dad, like sitting in like the wheelhouse, like, and that for itself was why I really wanted to read like Green Lights. And then like he really didn't talk too much about it, which was fine. I mean, you know, but I was like, that was like really big memory of mine, like my connection to Matthew McConaughey. But yeah, and then he really didn't mention it too much. And I can't remember the name of the movie he won for, so there's that too.
So hasn't he been the one that people have talked about wondering if he's going to run for Texas governor?
I kept waiting for that to happen.
I think so.
Yeah.
And there's no hint?
No hint, nothing. But he definitely lives in Austin.
So this is going to be a weird one, I think, to make recommendations for because it is so different. Do you think someone who likes Matthew McConaughey as an actor and wants to know more about him in that role would like this book? Or do you think it's going to be more about people who just like autobiographies?
I think it's going to be the opposite. I think people will read this because they like Matthew McConaughey.
Not
necessarily because they like memoirs or autobiographies.
Yeah.
And more like your Entertainment Tonight crowd, maybe?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
I think it was more of a person who is interested in, like, will listen to audiobooks and is like, oh my God, I love Matthew McConaughey, and will listen to it. And maybe this is just my perspective. Like I said, I didn't get a lot out of it as far as like inspirational or like, oh, this is going to help influence my life or anything like that.
It was just learn more about Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, beside the yelling at times, you know.
Yeah.
And he does a really good job. Like, he does all the impersonations of, like, the Australian accent and that sort of thing. So, like, I mean, it's fun to listen
to. It's fun, yeah.
At times. In between chapters, not so much.
Well, is there anything else you wanted to add in about it? Because it does seem like it's a big variety show.
It is definitely a variety show. Don't listen to it, like, when you got kids around, because...
Heaven forbid.
He talks about some things. let's see. I don't know if there's anything else that I would add.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if I were to rate it, like, out of, like 5 stars, I'd give it, like, a 3.
Okay.
Because it's, like, it's not bad. Like,
it's got entertainment value.
It's entertainment value. I think it only took maybe 4 hours, five hours on audio. Like, super short.
Super fast.
Like, it was
you
a pretty
fit
easy
one in
read.
Real quick.
Yeah, like, it wasn't bad. Nice road trip, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It just wasn't what I was expecting it to be. And I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Like, I really was. I mean, not that I was against it afterwards. It
yes.
It didn't do what I thought it would. I really thought he'd go more into...
like, lifting you up and...
well, sort of, but...
stuff like that.
But also, like, more into, like, the acting career. Like, what it's like to be an actor.
That's
like, behind the scenes of, like, this is what I do, this is what I don't. And he talks about it. Like, he showed up completely unprepared. Like, didn't look at a script one time. And he got up there and was like, I'm just gonna do it. And then, like, 2 seconds before they were gonna, like, say action, he, like, looked down and saw that he was supposed to speak in Spanish. And he did not know, like, any of it. So it was like a monologue, like 3 pages in Spanish, and he like hadn't looked at it, hadn't looked at the script. Like, he was trying this very, like, method actor thing. I'm not really sure.
You can't method act a different language.
You can't method act a different language. No. Yeah, I just thought I'd hear more of, like, those things. Or,
yeah,
like, when I was on set for this, we
or when, you know, I won my first award.
Yeah, you know, my co-actor on this was such a bee, or
or something. Yeah. And he talks more about producers and
not,
like,
wooey. When I was 19, those 16-year-old Australian girls were hot to trot.
Yeah, there's that. It was crazy. And, like, the very beginning, which I'm not giving anything away because it's, like, the first, like, couple pages, he talks about his parents and a fight that they had, and it kind of, like, it caught me off guard because that wasn't what I was expecting going into it. To, like, I didn't know he had abusive parents, like, towards each other. I didn't know any of that. And then he talks about, like, his mom trying to kill his dad with a knife, and she broke, like, a phone line, like a landline, over his dad's nose, and his dad, like, broke off a glass ketchup bottle and was like, and then they had sex afterwards, like, and he was like, and we were just sitting there on the couch, and I was just like,
what?
I am a little taken aback.
Yeah, I can imagine if you're thinking you're going into, like, a behind the scenes actor story,
really,
and then
a
few chapters in, you get to that, you're just like, oh, it's
not even a few chapters, Katie. Like, chapter one.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is how they loved. This is how they communicated.
Also feels like a very problematic way to frame that.
Try for therapy.
Yeah.
This is how they were abusive to each other in front of their children.
Yeah. It was just, and he brings it up, like, throughout the book. So it's not like anything.
Maybe needed a little bit of a content warning.
Yeah.
Like, something in the little summary that was like, talks about the ups and the downs. A lot of downs.
Emphasis on the negative
the
in my
downs.
Life. Yeah. And, like, it was just, I know. He, like, was, this is the other thing that makes me a little uncomfortable. I can't judge this man on his life, like, and his stories that he chose to tell, and, like, that sort of thing. It just definitely caught me off guard coming from someone that I thought was going to be more of, this is what we need to do to change our lives.
Yeah.
More inspirational. And maybe it was. Maybe I was just jaded. I'm not sure.
I mean, you know, maybe it was the difference between talking to someone in a professional setting and then talking to them at a bar and being like, oh, you are not the same person.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a really good way of describing it.
It doesn't discount that part of him, but I guess he just wanted to focus a little bit more on, like, the informal hanging out, just tell you about all my crazy stuff.
No, I like the way you describe that, because it reminds me of, like, social media Matthew, who's like...
You had a first name nickname basis.
Well, I went to call him Matt thinking it would be cutesy, but then I remembered how much he hated being called Matt, and so I was like, well, I better change
awkward.
That. Like, social media Matthew, who's like, let's get through this together, like, coronavirus, like, Black Lives Matter, we need a social change, like, all of that. And then, you know, we're talking about wet dreams.
Yeah,
you know?
Matt's just like, you don't even know what happened.
You don't even
week.
Know. Like, I got an Airstream and just drove around the United States for a few years and did whatever the hell I wanted to. And you're like, all right, cool.
Oh.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice.
That's funny.
So, yeah.
That's all I
think you
of.
Mean. All right, all right, all right.
Nice.
And stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.